She has something she needs to share with us. And while she's preparing, I'm going to ask Mike. There's some offering plates in the back with, and Randy, would you hand out the elements for our Lord's Supper, please? They're sitting up on the offering chest, I guess is what we call it. And while they're passing that out, I'm going to ask Jeannie if you would just share, take a few minutes and share the blessing that God has blessed you with this week.
God is good. Oh, come on now. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. I have a 2009 Saturn, and for the past, well, since I hit 130,000 miles, things have been going screwy-looey. And then the cost for those things have been graduating bigger and bigger. And this person said, you need a new car. Yeah, you need a new car. Well, God will provide. So this person wanted to take me car shopping. And then I'd been going back and forth to Bay City, and there was a car that was sitting on the side of the road, and I was looking at it, and I just had this, I should stop and look at it. So I did, and I told the person, and the person said, you need to take it for a test drive. I'm telling you, as soon as I got in that car, I mean, but I was trying to keep my emotions under control. And so, seems as I transport people.
Mike, I need one.
I said, hey, can I drive by my client's house if she can get in and out of it? Because that's important. She's got to get in and out. She's 90. And she could get in it. And she said, can we go for a ride? So we went for a ride. Gary was very gracious. And he helped hire Matt. It's Matt. We have Matt because Gary helped hire him. Anyways, so we went for the test drive, and so then the person, we went ahead and they took me car shopping, and it was just like nothing compared. I mean, it was same type of car, same year, but it just didn't compare. And so, I told the person, I said, I think that Bay City car is it. And that person said, I think you're right. And so they so I have a bill of sale and I'm waiting for the title.
Praise and the Lord.
Mine, no strings attached, and God is good. And my insurance down to $25 a month.
Yeah. You know, I was telling Jeannie, oftentimes God just pours out his blessings day after day, week after week. But oftentimes I don't tell you guys everything he's doing because I don't want you to feel like I'm bragging on me. But God is just so faithful. He is so faithful. I told Jeannie, you're going to have to share that with the church because we need to give him glory and we need to praise him when things like this happen because that was outside her budget. 2019, Subaru Crosstrek, beautiful car. And it's an amazing gift from God. Amazing gift from God. Not everything that comes our way is as large as that. But if we keep our eyes open, we can see the Lord at work constantly in our lives. And so I just want to encourage you, keep your eyes open. And when God does something, share that with someone. Don't just keep it to yourself. Share that with someone, okay? bless them. And here's the thing. Don't do like I and say, man, I'm envious of that. Rejoice with her. Rejoice with her and rejoice in the Lord because of God's gracious gift. This morning, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. We've been singing some songs about thanks. Thanks to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's an old chorus I learned as a child. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. I learned that when I was a little kid. And hopefully I'll be able to teach it to some of these children that are coming in a few weeks. One of the most gracious gifts the Lord has given us is Him dying on the cross for us. And He established something at the last Passover that He had with the disciples. And His establishment was that I'm going to give you a new covenant. The old covenant is past. Now, when you take the Passover, there's a new thing I will need you to understand. That this gift is given for you. I'm giving my body for you. I'm giving my blood for you. I'm giving my life for you. And so when He was with His disciples, He prayed and He blessed the bread, which He said is my body, which is broken for you. And then He blessed the wine, which He said is my blood shed for you, because this is the new covenant. And He also said, as often as you do this, remember me until I come again. I think when we get to heaven, the whole body of Christ is going to do this together. Isn't it going to be awesome? And then we're going to really see what it means. We in our imagination can understand and we read what the understanding's about, but I think then we'll get the full picture of the Lamb sacrificed for you and for me. Lord, we thank you for the body that you broke for us. Lord, we just thank you for the ministry that you had here on this earth. Lord Jesus, that was a horrible death that you experienced. But you did it for each one of us. And so, Lord, we thank you for your body being broken. Though even when I say that, it hurts me. It pains me. I know you had to go through that for me. Lord, I thank you. And Lord, there's a lot of blessing that comes by taking the Lord's Supper. And Lord, I don't even understand it all, but you do. So Lord, as we partake of your body, we just ask, Lord, that the blessings that you intend to come our way because of participating in this, that we would be able to receive it now. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You take the body. Scripture says that this is my blood, which is poured out for you. And so, Lord, again, we thank you for the blood poured out. Lord, this was no accident. This was no not something that the enemy came up with. This is something that you came up with. And Lord, you wanted us to be redeemed. You wanted us to come into your kingdom. You wanted us to come into your fold. And so you gave your life for us. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood. Pour it out for me, for each of us. And Lord, we receive it with all of the blessings that you intended when you said, this is my blood, the new covenant, sealing us for your kingdom. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want you to stand. I want you to hold hands. If you can stand, if not, I see some who are busy with children and things. That's okay. But I want you to turn to the individual on your right, an individual on your left, and I want you to tell them God loves you. And I want you to take just a few minutes in your own spirit, and I want you to thank the Lord for his love for you. Would you do that? So, Lord, we come before you. Lord, I want to thank you for your unconditional, incomprehensible love that you have for each one of us. Thank you for the sacrifice. Not only declaring, but showing your love. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. You may be seated. The last couple of weeks, I've been talking to you about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Did you know there's a passage of Scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? But did you know that you cannot do all things through Christ if you're not empowered by the Holy Spirit? It's impossible. Okay? Now, a lot of people say, I can do all things through Christ. And so they go out on their own and try to do things that God never intended for them to do. Or they go out on their own assuming that they are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And yet, what the Lord wants us to understand is that, yes, I can do, you can do all things, say all things. You can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. But did you know that the only reason Jesus Christ was able to do what he did was because he was empowered by the Holy Spirit? And that may throw some of you because you may say, well, Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He can do anything he wants to. The truth is, the only reason, so when Jesus came to earth, he left his God mantle in heaven. And he took up a man mantle. He called himself the Son of Man, although he was the Son of God. He discarded his Godhead. It is Godship and came to earth as a man. And the only reason he was able to do the things he did, the empowerment that was given to him to accomplish all that he did, was because he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'll read a passage of Scripture to you in Acts 10:38. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Say, anointed him with the Holy Spirit. And with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So the only reason Jesus was able to do the wonderful works he did was because of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Now, when Jesus left this earth and he said that you're going to do more mighty works on earth than I did while I was here, it wasn't because of you, but it was because of the Holy Spirit that he was going to send to us for the purpose of doing the works that Jesus Christ did. So it's vital that we have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in order to accomplish the things that Jesus accomplished. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do those things. And here's something that just I came to understand just a couple of years ago, and it just blown me away ever since. Did you know that after Jesus' resurrection, it was still through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that he did the things that he did? It wasn't because he was God the Son, but it was because of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Look at this passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, in my former book, and this is Luke talking, okay? Luke wrote the book of Acts. And so he says, in the former book that I wrote, Theophilus, I don't know who he was, but Luke knew him. But he said, I wrote this former book, and I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So after the resurrected Jesus was resurrected and was here on earth for 40 days prior to his ascension, Scripture says that he taught his disciples. He gave them instruction through the power of the Holy Spirit. He never did anything of power without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit being behind him, even when he was resurrected safe. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. And I'm assuming that he's still empowered by the Holy Spirit, sitting on the right hand of the Father. I'm assuming that's the case. And here's what I'm thinking, that after you are resurrected, that you will still be empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm thinking if that's the way Jesus operated, it's probable that that's the way we're going to operate too. So, this deal about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is a huge deal. And we can only move in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit when we yield to him, surrender to him, ask him, plead with him, Lord, Father, would you give me the Holy Spirit? Empower me with the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Miss Beverly, it's good to see you this morning. We've been missing you. We've been praying for you. I'm glad you could be here. So, again, pray for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit with all humility. This is the key to receiving the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, and then move in whatever you feel like God is asking you to do at the moment. Don't question it. Like I said last week, don't wait for a feeling. Just after you've prayed, realize that you have the empowerment, okay? And then move in it. Today, we're talking about the markers of a disciple. The first marker that we talked about was a disciple is one that's forgiven and one who is forgiving. The second marker is that it's a disciple who is empowered by the Spirit. The third marker is the marker I want to talk to you about today, and I don't know if this will be a one-time thing or, you know, like sometimes it goes on. But anyway, a disciple is a Spirit-filled individual. Now, some people see the empowerment of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit as one and the same thing, and perhaps they are. But here's what I want you to understand. The empowerment of the Spirit is something you do. The filling of the Spirit is something you are. It's a be. The way you are. Not what you do, but the way you are. The empowerment of the Spirit is given so you can minister to others. The filling of the Spirit is so that you can be Christ-like in your demeanor. Does that make sense? Okay. It's possible, I believe, to be filled with the Spirit and be Christ-like in your demeanor and yet not have the empowerment of the Spirit. I don't think, however, you can have the empowerment of the Spirit without first having the filling of the Spirit. So, it's very important that you be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to be talking to you about what that actually looks like, what that means today. So, many, many Christians live in anxiety, fear, agitation, anger, stress, and worry. Now, is this Spirit-filled living? No, it is not. Now, listen, anxiety levels, animosity, and hostility have escalated over the last couple of years. You can see it in our neighborhoods. You can see it television. You can see it across the nation. You can see it around the world. Things have escalated. And even among so-called Christians. It's as if the enemy is working overtime to cause division and try to conquer. And so it's vital that we as God's children know how to not be pulled into that and know how to walk in the peace that the Lord promises us. And let me just say this. With the onset of monkeypox, it's going to escalate. Okay? But hopefully it won't escalate with you. Hopefully you won't be anxious about that. Hopefully you won't be hostile about that. And hopefully you won't judge other people who become anxious about that. Okay? We have a friend who has everything under control. We have a friend who's still on the throne. We have a friend who cares about each one of you, who loves each one of you, and has the power to correct anything that's not of his purpose. He has that power. Well, I could say more on that subject, but I'm going to move on. But I want you to understand that we choose to walk in fear. That's a choice. We choose to walk in anxiety. That's a choice. We choose to walk in irritation. We choose to walk in agitation. We choose to walk in anger, hatred, bitterness, you name it. We choose that. That's our choice. You may say, well, I don't have a choice, and it just comes on me. Well, you have a choice. How you're going to walk, you have a choice on what you're going to think about. You have a choice on whether or not you're going to allow your emotions to control you, or you're going to allow the peace of God to permeate your soul. That's your choice. Now, I will say this, that there are times when I get out, I call it the God zone. There are times when I lose my peace, and it's almost like I'm not that mature yet to not lose my peace. Sometimes I get, okay. For instance, this week, being a pastor of a small church, sometimes you think everything falls on your shoulders. And I'm thinking, and first I want to say, too, thank you for all of you who came out to help this week. You have been a blessing to me. You have been a blessing. You've been a blessing to this church. And I thank you. Then there's some carpet that needs to be laid upstairs. And here's the thing. I'm not bragging on myself, but I can do carpet. Okay, it's not a big deal, but it does take time. And the time it takes me to do that means I don't have the time to do these other things. Okay. Or if I do it, I've still got to do these other things. And pretty soon I'm worn out physically. So the thought came to me, why not get somebody else to do it? See, that's not normally the way I think. Normally the way I think is, you got to get her done. Got to get her done. So here's what I did. And Carolyn, you may be, I want you to understand this. I asked this fellow, the fellow that rents this house lays floors for a living. Duh. So I said, Jeff, you got some time to lay some floor before the 13th. No, this is Jeff. Kelly, have you got time? And he said, yeah, I can come over and do that. I can do that Monday night, tomorrow night, after work. I said, what we'll do, we'll just take that off of your rent so that that would be a blessing to you. It'll be a blessing to us. And he was good with that. God has a plan, but he'll let me do it if I want to. Okay? I remember when we were putting in this parking lot. I used to work for a guy. He did underground excavation. Well, actually, he was a sewer guy. Okay, that was a technical term for sewer guys. Underground excavation. And so I thought, man, I can do that. I can do that. And the Lord kept telling me, no, no, no. It's got to get done. And they're wanting $40,000 to do it. We don't have $40,000. No, no, no. Okay. Then you're going to have to take care of it. And do you know, he sent a fellow from the Catholic Church. He said, I will, you'll of course have to pay for materials, pay for my labors, but I'm not going to charge you the time for my equipment. That sounds good. Okay, do it. And do you know, that's been, I don't know how many years ago, 15 maybe years ago, he's never sent us a bill. And we, you know, for several months, we said, how much do we owe you? How much? We keep sending, I think we sent him a gift certificate to Roseanne's. Okay, for the work that he, see, God's got a plan. And I have to learn not to stress about everything. I have to learn to rest in him. I have to learn to trust him in his ways, not what I think, but what he knows. And so here's what I've learned. I can't help getting stressed sometimes, but I can determine how long I'm going to stay there. Okay? I can determine whether I'm going to stay there 6 minutes, 6 months, 6 years, or the rest of my life. That's my choice. Okay? I can't choose really not to get out of the God zone sometimes. I wish I could. I'm not there yet. Okay? But I can choose how long I'm going to stay there. So, what does the spirit life look like? In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, Scripture says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such, there is no law. So when a person saw Jesus, this is the characteristics they saw in his life. Jesus was love. He had compassion on the crowds. Jesus was love. He healed the sick. Jesus was love. He healed the paralytic by the pool Jesus was love. His love just ministered through him. It was like that's who he was. No wonder people were drawn to him. No wonder people were drawn to him. Jesus was full of joy. Full of joy. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews, there's a passage of scripture in Hebrews chapter, I don't know where I am right now. Chapter 1, verse 9. You love, and this is a declaration of God regarding Jesus. You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. Have you ever thought of Jesus being joyful? A lot of times we see pictures of Jesus, you know, and he's kind of like this sad person. Maybe one corner of his face. But scripture said that God anointed him with joy. More joy than anyone you've ever seen before. Isn't that incredible? That's incredible. No wonder people were drawn to him. Are you drawn to people with full of joy, who are full of joy? How about this? Are you drawn to people who have a despairing, depressed atmosphere behavior? Aren't you just drawn to them? Jesus was full of joy. And people, I know myself, I am drawn to people who are full of joy. I love to hang around joyful people. They make me joyful. Okay? And so that is the thing that Jesus had was love, joy, peace, and all of these other. And so scripture teaches us that when we're full of the Spirit, that we're going to have the same characteristics in our life that Jesus had. Praise the Lord. I want that. I want that. I don't want to be the mealy-mouthed. I just want to be filled with the Spirit. And did you know that sometimes you can pretend? Sometimes you can pretend, oh, I'm full of joy. But you know, it goes away pretty quick because you can't pretend for very long. Oh, I'm just so full of peace. No, right, really. Wait 10 minutes. But here's the thing. We allow circumstances to remove that from us. We allow circumstances to create chaos in our life, and we leave the God zone, we leave the Spirit-filled life, and then we get into our own emotions. So all of us have trigger emotions, and they're individual. You may have your trigger emotion, Bryce, may be different than Rena's trigger emotion. Okay, Bryce, yours may be depression. Rena's may be sadness. Chris's may be anger. Anessa's may be guilt. Every one of us have different trigger emotions. It's important that you know what your trigger emotion is, because that's where the enemy is going to try to get you every single time, because that's the one you're familiar with. And so once you learn what your trigger emotion is, when it comes up, you can say, whoop, stop. I'm not going there. Lord, I'm going to get back on your side. I'm going to enter your Spirit-filled place one more time. I'm going to enter the God zone. So, listen, these attributes that we've just spoke of can only be experienced when you enter the Spirit-filled life. If you want it, if you want to have these attributes in your life, it can only be accomplished when you enter the Spirit-filled life. If you're not filled with the Spirit, other emotions are going to creep up and dictate your actions. I'm not going to ask you what your trigger emotion. Well, I will, but not right now. So when you exit the Spirit-filled life because of sin, because of disobedience, because of emotional turmoil, another emotion starts to rule. There's a passage of Scripture in Colossians 3:15, I did not put it up here, that says, let the peace of God rule your heart. And what that tells me is that when any other emotion is triggered in my life, I should not make any decisions. Because if I do, it's going to be detrimental. I need to wait till I get back to the God zone. I need to wait till I get in a frame of mind where I have peace in my heart before I make any decisions. How many of you have ever made a hasty decision out of fear? Let's see. How did that work out for you? Have you ever made a hasty decision out of anger? Yeah. How did that work out for you? It comes out worse, doesn't it? So what if we waited till we got in a place of peace with God in our heart? And so basically what that means, you're in the right relationship with Him, okay? And so what if we waited till we had that peace of God in our heart before we made decisions? Do you think that would work out better? Yeah, but the problem is that sometimes our emotions take over and we just got to do it right now, okay? And so what I'm suggesting is, I think what the Lord is suggesting, is that you check yourself before making decisions. You pray about it. Don't move quickly. Find out what God wants. Don't move on your emotions. Move with the Spirit and do what He says. And I guarantee you things will come out wonderfully well. Okay? Scripture says, let me just say this. If you go unchecked, now, let me finish reading this. The ruling emotion is different for each individual. I've talked about this. Anxiety, fear, panic, anger, irritation, frustration, guilt, shame, sorrow, which often leads to negative thinking and then comes self-hatred, depression, and despair. Self-sabotage. Also, if unchecked, some will try to find relief with drugs, alcohol, illicit relationships, pornography, and other destructive behavior. Paul says this, and Paul explains how to return to the Spirit-filled life in the letter to the Philippians, and this is what he says. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So basically, this is what he's saying. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Don't get upset about anything. Don't allow your emotions to drive you. But rather, pray about every situation. Tell him what's going on. Listen, tell him what's going on in your life. Tell him how you feel and why you feel that way. This is very important. And tell him that you're willing to yield to his sovereign will in the situation. Thank him for the wonderful things that he's done in your life and trust him with the outcome. Scripture says, then God's peace will enter your mind, your heart. God's peace will guard your mind, will guard your heart, protecting you, garrisoning himself around you, so that you can experience and walk in the presence of God. Let me ask you a few questions. How much peace does God have? How much peace does Jesus have? Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. The world's going to have, you're going to have trouble. Okay, you're not lying. But My peace I leave with you. How much peace do you think Jesus has? Well, let me ask you this. If you had the peace of God, the peace of Jesus Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit, do you think you would know it? I'm guessing that's probably the case. Okay? And so all three persons of the Godhead wants to give you their peace. I call that the God zone, when you have the peace. So let me ask you now, what is your trigger emotion? You don't have to answer out loud. But you need to identify that. What emotion generally drives you out of the Spirit-filled life? Selfishness? The third question, what would you say? Would you say that you are living in the Spirit most often? Or you're living in what I call the destructive emotional neighborhood most often? Do you live the Spirit-filled life most often, or do you live in the den most often? Do you allow the Spirit to control you, and you're yielding to the Spirit and surrendering to the Spirit, or do you surrender to your emotions most often? So, here's the key. The key is to trust. That's the key. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So peace equals trust. Trust equals peace. If you're trusting in the Lord, you're going to have peace. If you're not trusting in the Lord, you're not going to have peace. He will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in you. When you lose your trust, you're going to lose your peace. Got it? When you lose your trust, your trigger emotion is going to consume you. When you lose your trust, you're going to start doing things that is not the will of God. God will keep you in perfect peace, a perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him because you're trusting in him. Many times we trust in our circumstances. Many times we look at our circumstances and just go wild because we don't know how all this is going to turn out. I want to share something with you. You're not the first person to go through this. And God has an answer. God has an answer. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't care. Okay? Trusting him does not mean that you just forget about it and say, I'm not going to worry about it. Trusting him may mean that God wants you to do something about the situation. That's why we started this school. Because it bothered me what they were teaching in the educational system. Bothered me to no end, and I can either gripe and complain and bellyache about it, or I can do what I can do to change it. And I think you as a church felt the same way. We've got to do something. We can't just sit back on our laurels and grab, you know, pull our hair out. Not that I have much. But we can't just sit back and get all upset without doing something. I really believe this is a God-led endeavor. And I really believe this is going to carry on for generations and generations and generations. And what we're beginning, there's a passage of scripture I'm trying to remember. I think it's in Joel. I can't even recall exactly. It just says, something to do with small beginnings. Don't despise small beginnings. Thank you. Don't despise small beginnings. So starting out small. All we have to do is walk in faithfulness. We don't have to understand it all. We don't have to do anything except this is the next step God's asking us today. We can't just sit back and do nothing. That's not within me. I can't just pretend I have a blind eye to what's going on. Something's got to be done. So when I ask you this morning, are you in the den? Or are you in the God zone? When you're agitated, trust. When you're anxious, trust. When you're fearful, trust. When you're impatient, trust. When you're despised, rejected, disrespected, trust. Trust, trust, trust. When life happens, hang on to Him. Hang on to His word. Listen to His voice. Follow what He says. Surrender to His will. Be obedient to Him. I was talking to a young man that, 47, he's young to me. Talking to a young man this last week, and he said, man, when you talk about obedience and surrender, I really have problems with those words. And you know what? I think a lot of Christians have a problem with those words. I mean, he's just being honest. I have a problem with obedience. I have a problem with surrender. God wants to lead you in paths of righteousness. God wants to impart to Him His peace, His spirit, but we have to surrender to Him in order to receive that. I'm going to quit. So are you surrendered? Are you willing? Put your life in His hands and just be obedient. Rest in Him and trust Him with the outcome of whatever is going on right now. Would you listen to His voice and do what He says? You can either walk in your emotions or you can walk in the peace of God. Spirit-filled life. I guarantee you there's no other life that compares. Father, I come before You this morning, and I thank You for Your word to us. And Lord, I declare one more time, I want to be filled with Your Spirit. You said, ask, we will receive, seek, find, knock, and it will be opened unto us. And so, Lord, we come before You, and we submit ourselves to You. In Jesus' name, amen.